Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Welcome in, everyone, to the show. I was just saying, hey, we've gotten thousands of new subscribers to our daily newsletter, so I want to thank you for that. Go to morninginvest.com to subscribe to our daily newsletter. You can read it in about 5 to 10 minutes over your cup of coffee in the morning. And I just love the emails I get back from all of you that say that the newsletter makes your morning. So thank you so much for your kind emails and response. You say you never miss it. So thank you to that. And happy National Pancake Day. Today is National Pancake Day, of course. It's Fat Tuesday because tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent. How many Victory. Catholics out there are giving up stuff?
Victory says it's also Do a Grouch a Favor Day. So if you guys have a grouch in your life,
do them a favor.
Get them a pancake.
Yeah. Or this. Have you seen this fake meat, by the way? I don't know if we featured this in the newsletter. This is from Redefine. They're working on a new 3D printer-based fake meat. It's plant-based.
Is that supposed to be like a rib?
Ink that they use. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a ribeye. They say that they can print the meat countless times, deliver a complex layer of muscle and fat to recreate the right texture, and it's all fake. It's plant-based. They say our meat today versus some other cuts of meat are the same. I don't know. Would you guys eat this thing? I don't know. It looks weird to me. It's like, if you're going to like fake it so that it's meat, why not just eat meat? Like, you want to taste meat, but I don't know. And then all the processing of it, it seems like it's all fake to begin with. Stay away from that stuff.
Well, and I've read articles that say that the footprint of that meat is much worse than regular meat.
Yeah, right. I mean, so what we're trying to do is we're trying to help the planet, right? Because the amount, the carbon footprint of processing meat is so high. And now this stuff, this Beyond Meat stuff, is even worse. Even Bill Gates, who's a big investor in Beyond Meat, says, yes, there's huge problems with Beyond Meat.
Okay. Although...
So you're eating more processing, you know?
It would be kind of cool if you could just get all the materials and then, like, if you wanted a roast, you just put it on the printer and print one out. And like, what do we want tonight? You want T-bones? Let's print out some T-bones.
Right. It's like the Star Trek holodeck, really, you know? Earl Grey hot. What do you want? Do you want some ramen tonight? You want a T-bone 3D printed? We can do that. We can do all of that. Hey, welcome to Morning Invest. This is the only morning show that holds our leaders accountable with no agenda. We have no agenda on this show other than to hold them accountable. No narrative from billionaires telling us what to say. On today's show, breaking news on two possible stimulus timelines that are emerging this morning. And we've got some other breaking news on mortgage forbearance and assistance on homeowners from President Biden, which will be announced a little bit later today. So that we're just getting word about this morning, and we will bring it to you. There are also some big hurdles to getting this stimulus bill passed. On the Republican side, I've got all the details on that. Plus, when will President Biden start ending these horrible foreign wars and start bringing troops back home? Yeah, there was a rocket attack last night in Iraq. Like, why are we still in Iraq, by the way? U.S. service member killed in a rocket attack last night. Why are we there? We actually have a direct answer from the White House this morning. We'll play that for you. So thank you guys so much for joining us this morning. I want to tell you about our show sponsor, our friends at Atomic Social. You know, there are 60,000 web searches that happen every second, and 75% of people never scroll past the first page of Google. So it's time to make sure that your company is known out there in the Googleverse. Look, I mean, that's something we work on our website. If you're not on the first page of Google, you might as well just hang it up. Or work with Atomic Social because they'll fix it up for you. So whether you're a local business or you're looking to drive foot traffic to your store, take a look at their website here at Atomic Social. You've got to get your business looking to rank and high on Google. That's what you've got to do because, you know, you might be a dentist office. You might be an internet, you know, you might be an e-commerce store. It doesn't matter. You've got to rank on Google, and Atomic Social has a custom tailored solution for you. They can help any business with a website. And if you don't have a website, they can help with that too. That's right. Very easy to do. And Atomic Social offers flexible SEO packages that are focused on building a strong foundation for your online success, offering countless ways to reach your target customers wherever they happen to be and wherever they happen to be searching from. So what you need to do is contact their team of experts today for a free SEO consultation and start planning your digital roadmap to success. I'm a huge fan of Atomic Social, worked with hundreds of companies and brands to make their SEO strategy a success, and they can help you too. I've heard from many of you who've already started working with Atomic Social, and you said, thank you for letting me know about Atomic Social. They are an industry-leading marketing firm that specializes in search engine optimization, SEO, and website design. So here's how it works. They're going to give you a special offer right now. Today, Atomic Social is giving away a free month of SEO. They offer 4 and 12-month packages for which they will create a customized, targeted goal to get you on the top and first page of any search engine. So here's what you got to do. You go to their website. You go to this link right now that we've got on our screen, just morninginvest.com/atomic. And this calendar will pop up, this handy-dandy calendar. Okay? And you pick the time, the 20-minute time slot that works for you. So to clarify, they're not only giving away a totally free SEO consultation where they will get you on the phone, they're going to get on the phone with you, and they're going to walk through a custom strategy for your business, but they're also giving away a free month of SEO. That's awesome sauce. That's awesome sauce. So go check them out. Morninginvest.com/atomic.
Wouldn't that basically be sawesome?
Sponsors. Sawesome. That is sawesome. When you support our sponsors, you support us. So thank you so much to Atomic Social. All right, let's get to it. We're going to start with some breaking news this morning. And at the White House, over at the White House on, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, President Biden is going to announce today that he is going to extend the foreclosure moratorium. We're just getting word about this, and the details are coming in this morning, that the moratorium, this is a big deal because it was set to run out in just a short amount of time. So this is for homeowners and mortgage payment forbearance windows. So this is going to now be extended through June 30th. Now, these, a lot of people started this back last year in March and were pushing this and pushing this and pushing this because they lost their jobs and they can't pay for their home. They can't pay their mortgage. He's also going to give 6 months of additional forbearance in 3-month increments for people who got forbearance by June 30th, 2020. So that is good news. Really good news for people that are looking right now to try to get caught up or not lose their home. Now, the real question is whether or not the stimulus package will pass that actually has rental assistance in it to keep people from not being evicted who are facing eviction through no fault of their own. But that is some breaking news this morning, that mortgage forbearance window President Biden is going to announce today through executive action. This will be pushed through June 30th, and he will also give 6 months of additional forbearance for people who got forbearance by June 30th. So a couple of different incremental increases there, which is good. Now to the problems facing the stimulus. So let's put this new COVID bill in context here. Over the past year, Congress has managed to pass 5 key COVID relief bills this last year with huge bipartisan margins, Republicans and Democrats working together, dogs and cats living together. But now, because it's a Democrat in the White House, with Joe Biden, who's calling for another nearly $2 trillion in federal aid to crush the virus and get the economy back on its feet again, Republicans are saying, nah, no thanks. And we have a new report this morning suggesting that just as a handful of Republicans, I'm talking single-digit number of Republicans, might vote to support this new Biden proposal. You weak-kneed wimps. You are weak-kneed. At a time when millions of Americans are suffering, only a handful of Republicans might vote for it? You're weak. You are weak. One Republican in a report said, quote, people will vote for a COVID bill, but they want it more targeted. It's what they have in it that makes it hard. Oh, like what? Rental assistance? For poor people? What about food stamp increases? You weak-kneed fools. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Thank you, Joe. Republicans say the minimum wage hike should not be hiked to $15, especially in a COVID-related package. They also say that state and local governments, the government money that's being pushed by Democrats, is overly generous. And a chunk of the aid Congress approved hasn't even been spent yet, they said. Okay, then spend it. Republicans say more should be done to get schools reopened quickly. And they complain the overall price tag is just too high, $1.9 trillion. It's just way too high. I'm sorry, how much did you spend on big businesses in Wall Street? You want to remember that? And how about this piece? This piece is stunning in the Los Angeles Times this morning. If I can get it up here. This, I found this incredibly troubling. This piece is, I mean, it's really eye-opening. And it's heartbreaking. It looks at the employment office out in California and how workers there, their unemployment agency. Okay, these are the people that help people right now who do not have jobs because they have no money to hire additional workers. The state aid would go to help these employment offices. Okay, the exodus of staff from California's unemployment agency hinders help for jobless. And the piece looks at how they're working endless nights, like they don't sleep. They are completely overwhelmed. They are stretched to the absolute breaking point. Let me just give you an example of what this piece says. 3,000 workers are answering 3 million phone calls a week. Imagine those phones ringing nonstop. 1,500 employees of the California's employment system have all quit. They can't take it. They don't have the support. They literally can't sleep. They've quit. So you mean to tell me that the state and local government money is just generous and extraneous? There, I just showed you one example. That's one small example of what states are feeling right now across the country. Same thing is happening in Florida. Same thing is happening in Wisconsin. All over the country, that's what's happening. Here's Representative Mike Quigley of Illinois, who's speaking out about the bipartisan approach and what he says Democrats are going to have to do. He's a Democrat and basically going to have to go it alone without these Republicans.
Look like there's going to be unity with regard to the COVID relief package. It looks like you'll have to resort to what's called reconciliation, which is we'll do this without Republicans.
Well, that's right. And I think the hardest part of that procedurally is over. The House and Senate passed that measure. Now it's a question of how we divvy up, for lack of a better expression, that $1.9 trillion in relief and care. Remember, about $160 billion of it is to address the pandemic itself, to get this vaccination in order, you know, move the Defense Production Act into full force so we have a means to attack this appropriately.
You know, recent reports now tell us that the federal debt is going to reach 100% of GDP next year, and in 2023, 107% of GDP. Are you concerned about the growth of the deficit?
Watch this.
Sure. But first of all, I'm not sure they had the same concern the last year when it was a Trump presidency, right? They spent $4 trillion in a bipartisan effort to address the pandemic and the economic downturn that comes with it. President Trump's Fed chief and all current living former Fed chiefs say we have to go big right now. The concern at this point has to be that the economy doesn't crater. And they're saying if you go small, it has that chance.
Yeah. Oh, you're suddenly concerned about the spending now, Republicans. Man, what happened? You just woke up? Look, I'm going to say this right now. There are big problems. If you're a Republican who votes against this bill, get ready to lose your next election when your opponent runs ads saying, Ted Cruz voted against the stimulus checks for the people of Texas who are suffering. 2022, you're screwed if you vote against this. I mean, the campaigns are already starting.
Well, unless they do what the Democrats did during the Georgia runoffs and lie and, you know, say, well, I'll support it this time. You'll get those checks next week.
Yeah. We'll see if they do. I mean, I don't think they're going to jump on board with this. And I don't know if they're worried that they can, according to Republican sources, they're basically saying, we think we can survive this political fallout by not supporting this bill. So you get to pick and choose which stimulus packages you support. The ones that support Wall Street and billionaire classes, great, we support those bailouts as Republicans. But when it comes to helping state and local governments and getting stimulus checks into the hands of people, nah. I mean, to be clear, the Democrats' COVID package will include tens of billions of dollars for vaccine funding and ramped up testing. Those are going to be crucial unemployment benefits, $1,400 stimulus checks. And let's be clear about it. Republicans have supported every one of these priorities in the past year, but now they plan to vote no. I mean, let's just think about it. There's plenty of political peril here for the GOP in opposing a package like this. The United States is reeling from a once-in-a-lifetime virus that's killed nearly 500,000 people, devastated the economy, and it's totally remade the political landscape, which we're going to get to in just a few minutes, and how there's a big push now for a real third political party in the United States.
They all must have watched Dave Ramsey on Fox.
Yeah, because Dave Ramsey gets it right. Right. Just remember, you have a mental illness if you need a stimulus check. There's something wrong with you if you need a stimulus check.
Yeah, if
Dave
14,
Ramsey says.
If $600 or $1,400 is going to change your life, there's a problem. The problem is you.
You're screwed.
Come from an interesting perspective. You talk to Americans across the country every day on your radio program.
Yeah.
What do you believe is the right number or the right answer for the next stimulus check?
Well, I don't believe in a stimulus check, because if $600 or $1,400 changes your life, you were pretty much screwed already. You got other issues going on. You have a career problem. You have a debt problem. You have a relationship problem. You have a mental health problem. Something else is going on.
Yeah, you got a mental health problem because you need a stimulus check. Just remember the words of Dave Ramsey, conservative commentator.
Unbelievable.
Like someone said yesterday in the chat, I'm disabled. You jerk.
Yeah, Kyle Kulinski called them survival checks because that's what they are. They're survival checks.
Yeah, Kyle's exactly right. These aren't even, we should stop, and that's frankly what Nancy Pelosi started calling them too, you know, survival checks. That's what they are. And it's so sad, like, survival. $1,400, that's what we're quibbling over? You guys can cut billion-dollar checks left and right? $40 billion a year you can hand out to Raytheon and Northrop Grumman so they can build bombs? Survival. You know, I was watching a couple of different YouTube channels the other day about some people who lived abroad and who came back to the United States after 6 years away. And they're like, wow. I cannot believe this place. They're like, man, this country, literally, the media is awful. It pits all of us against each other. Government that doesn't take care of its people. And these are people who like spent years in Europe. And they saw that a government actually had a safety net that took care of its people. And they're like, oh my God, what happened to this country? Awful. Thanks, Dave Ramsey.
$600 changes your life. And that's not talking down to folks. I've been bankrupt. I've been broken. I work with people every day who are hurting. I love people. I want people to be lifted up. But this is, again, it is just political rhetoric, and it's just throwing dollars out there. It's peeing on a forest fire. It's absolutely ridiculous.
I'll tell you what's ridiculous, Dave. So at the end of the day, anyone who votes against these stimulus checks and the unemployment payments is going to pay for it in 2022 during the midterm elections. For Democrats, you know, if Republicans want to vote no on this, then that's fine with them. It's going to be a lot easier for them to win in 2022 when Republicans did not vote to extend stimulus $1,400 to the American people. That ad writes itself, and that's an easy one. That's an easy ad to write, a campaign ad. So the budget committee is going to consider it this week, and it's expected on the floor next week. Now, let's talk about the timelines. We've got a couple of different timelines, and after examining a couple of different stimulus proposal dates, I've put together some numbers here, and there are two potential timelines for a third stimulus payment. So let's break this down a little bit and kind of go through where we are right now with these different stimulus numbers based on when a check could be approved and then processed and then sent out by the IRS. So top leaders have a specific due date in mind, about 4 weeks from now. Okay, but now that's assuming that everything runs like clockwork. So you know how Congress is, man. It works so efficiently. So we've got only 3 weeks where the Senate and the House of Representatives are officially in session, and they're able to vote on a bill. So any back and forth right now could push that timeline back. And it looks like Republicans may want to throw a wrench into that works. Mitch McConnell has already attempted that. So if Republicans want to screw with this timeline, it could push this back a little bit further. On top of that, we need to account for the lag time between when the IRS actually calculates your stimulus payment and how long it actually takes for the money to land in your bank account or your mailbox. So a couple of things there, like if you have a direct deposit account, great, then you'll get paid more quickly. But if you're waiting on a paper check, it could come longer. So the payment group that you fit into is going to play a big part into when these new stimulus checks would actually likely drop in the midst of this tax season. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said that she expects this to pass her chamber by the end of February. So we're getting close to that now. What is today, the 16th? So just, yep. I mean, just about a week or so, right? So the first version of the stimulus package would originate over in the House of Representatives, then it gets picked up by the Senate, which is then expected to make amendments to it, and it'll send it back to the House where they will pass it. Then it has to be signed by President Biden. So Pelosi said on February 11th, quote, "We hope to have all of this done by the end of February." She says, "We certainly hope to have it on the president's desk to offset the March 14th deadline," end quote. Okay, so we've looked at a couple of different numbers here, and here are some of the hypothetical timelines, okay? So let me give you two examples here. If stimulus check passes Congress on Friday, March 12th, you could see the first stimulus check sent out by March 22nd.
The first stimulus check.
So if the first direct deposit check would be sent. So if you're on electronic filing.
So what you're saying is there's going to be multiple checks coming out?
Well, no, there would be multiple. There'd be digital checks, like if you already have your direct deposit information on file, or a paper check if you do not, and they will be mailing you a check. Or if you don't have that, they would send you that EIP card. So it's like a direct deposit card. Those would come a little bit later. So direct deposits, like if you're on Social Security benefits, you already have your information on file because of a tax refund. Any of that, if they already have your direct deposit information on file, direct deposits would likely go out the earliest, it appears, on March 22nd. So a little over a month from now. That is, if President Biden signs that bill into law by Sunday, March 14th. So we're playing with these numbers based on when Congress is in session and when these committees will be passing this bill. So all of this has, you know, committee dates and everything else. So again, if they pass it in Congress on Friday, March 12th, that's Friday, it goes to Sunday, the president could sign it by Sunday, March 14th, and then your first deposit checks would come out about a week later on March 22nd. Paper checks would be sent on March 29th. First EIP cards would be sent on April 5th. And if you missed any stimulus money, you could claim them on May 3rd. Okay, that's the first scenario. The second scenario is if it gets pushed back a week because Republicans screw with stuff. So the stimulus check passes Congress on March 22nd. The stimulus bill gets signed into law on March 23rd. The first checks then could go out on March 29th.
Did the Social Democrats stop fighting for $2,000? Like, did they just give up? Like, okay, we're done. Because I've not heard another word on fighting for $2,000. Sanders and the Justice Democrats.
I haven't heard another word either. No, nothing. And here's the thing. If it goes through committee, then we might have some fights on that. And the dragging out part of this might not have to come from Republicans. It might come from Democrats. But if they bypass committee and fast track that, then none of these people get to really have a say in it. And it'll be $1,400 and that's it. Plus the $600 that was back in December. That's the talking point, right? That the $600 was the beginning of it all. We're just finishing the job, which is a total lie, and we all know it. It's a total lie. You know, as Jen Psaki the other day said, you know, as the president has said repeatedly, we want to finish the job. The $600 was the beginning. $1,400 is the finishing of this job. But that's a total lie.
Come on, man.
Sorry, Joe. It's the truth. So again, two different scenarios. First, checks could either go out on March 22nd or March 29th, based on those having a week timeline split in half. So those are some of the rough hypotheticals right now, based on when Congress is in session, when committees would be passing this stuff, when they are going to get it back to the House. It's got to go from the House to the Senate, back to the House, and then to the president's desk. All in an effort to try to get this done by March 14th so that people's unemployment benefits don't run out. Plus, the way that you get your stimulus money could help determine when you get your stimulus money. So direct deposit recipients will likely get their stimulus checks faster, as evidenced by the first two rounds of payments. We know that now. But both times, there have been issues involving those deposits going to those temporary accounts. And then those were rejected by the banks. So those temporary accounts, like the ones at H&R Block and Jackson Hewitt and other things. So please make sure your bank account information is updated and on file with the IRS if you want to get this information done correctly. That's the goal anyway, is to make sure that all of this stuff is taken care of and that your information is up to date on their website. Otherwise it's going to bounce back. And so many of you had that happen. They're like, the IRS says they sent my stimulus check. It says that's what I've got, but it bounced back and I never got it. That's infuriating. So the people that need it the most aren't getting it on time. So that's that point. We've got a lot more to get to here on the show. But first, do you want 10 free delicious meals delivered right to your front door, totally free? Of course you do. I'm going to tell you how you get those 10 free meals in a second. With HelloFresh, you get fresh, pre-measured ingredients and mouth-watering seasonal recipes delivered right to your door. HelloFresh lets you skip those trips to the grocery store and makes home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. And that's why it's America's number one meal kit. You cut down on groceries. One of my favorite things about them is that you're going to save about 40% on your grocery bill instead of shopping at your local store. Because they deliver the right portions to your house and you're not wasting food and overbuying. And it's cheaper because they're able to do it in bulk in a way that other people can't. HelloFresh delivers pre-portioned ingredients so you're not overbuying, which is a burden on the planet and your wallet, and you're throwing that food waste. You know, my kids love to cook, so being able to do these recipe cards makes it super easy to get the whole family cooking together. It's really great. You can pick from you can want vegetarian meals, you want more meat, you can mix and match different choices. So you want to do pescatarian, vegetarian, you want to do more meat, you want to have a larger plan, you can mix it up. HelloFresh offers flexibility you need with customizable orders every week. You can easily change your delivery days or your food. Tracy Poss in our chat says, my daughter and her husband are vegan and they love HelloFresh. Yes. Christy Banner says, I used to test HelloFresh recipes. Ooh, that's awesome. You can skip a week whenever you need to. Like if you're going on vacation or something, you can skip it. So if you want to get 10 free meals, here's what you got to do. You got to go to HelloFresh.com/invest10 and use that code INVEST10 for 10 free meals, including free shipping. Yes. So go to HelloFresh.com/invest10. You have to type out that URL. And use the code INVEST10 to get 10 free meals, including shipping. So our thanks to HelloFresh and also for giving you guys 10 free meals just for trying them out. I really appreciate that. Let's talk about third parties now. There's a new poll out this morning that shows, look at this poll, that shows just how bad things are getting. just how bad things have gotten for Republicans and Democrats. 62% say a third political party is needed in the U.S. Nearly two-thirds of Americans say the U.S. needs a third major political party because the GOP and the Democratic Party do such a poor job representing the American people, according to this new Gallup poll. In a survey released Monday, 62% of Americans said the third party was needed, while 33% said the two existing major parties do an, quote, adequate job. How would you like to be known as adequate?
Well, and it's probably was just a drop down. It's like, well, nah, I guess adequate, like, it's in between. They probably had three choices.
Right. You're adequate. Hey, Clayton, thanks for such an adequate show today. Oh, you bet. Hey, David, thanks for being a great producer. You did an adequate job today. Appreciate it. You know that some diseases have a higher credibility rating and approval rating than Congress. I'm not kidding. Some fungi have a higher approval rating than Congress. One of those fungi is Senator Lindsey Graham. He thinks that the MAGA Trump movement needs to continue. Let's listen to fungi, Lindsey Graham.
We're going to go down to talk with him next week, play a little golf in Florida. And I said, Mr. President, this MAGA movement needs to continue. We need to unite the party. Trump plus is the way back in 2022.
Yeah. So Republicans are having an identity crisis right now. Trump plus is what we need in 2022. We want him to continue to be the leader of our party. Man, Lindsey Graham is hanging on tight to that, isn't he? Well, Mitch McConnell doesn't agree. And he wrote a scathing opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal this morning. The headline is, Acquittal Vindicated the Constitution, Not Trump. And one big section of the piece jumps out at me, and he says, quote, there is no question former President Trump bears moral responsibility. His supporters stormed the Capitol because of the unhinged falsehoods that he shouted into the world's largest megaphone. Ouch. He goes on to say, his behavior during and after the chaos was also unconscionable. From attacking Vice President Mike Pence during the riot to praising the criminals after it ended. The nation needs real constitutional champions, not fair weather institutionalists. He says the Senate's duty last week was clear. It wasn't to guarantee a specific punishment at any cost. Our job was to defend the Constitution and respect its limits. And that is what our acquittal delivered. So let me get this right. End quote, by the way. So let me get this right. Basically, I believe Trump is guilty, but I'm going to vote to acquit him. That's exactly what this opinion piece says. He's responsible, but I'm going to vote to acquit him. Four in 10 Republicans say they want their party to become more conservative after the end of former President Trump's term, while 34% hope it will stay the same. Meanwhile, as a progressive and someone on the left, my side, I would love for there to be a more progressive party that's emerging. I know we hear about the People's Party and the Green Party, a strong third party that stands up against these corporatists, these corporate elites that run both of these parties. So what is Mitch McConnell doing? Why is he writing this? He's doing TV appearances all of a sudden. He's writing opinion pieces in the Wall Street Journal. The reason he's doing this is he's trying to say, we're done with Trump and we want our money back. We want our donors to start coming back home. That's exactly what he's doing. George Will, conservative columnist, said the exact same thing, that this is the new era for the Republicans under Mitch McConnell, which is to erase Trump from the history books, basically. So all of those corporate donors that said they're not going to donate money to you anymore, all these Republicans who supported Trump and overturning the election, it's really hurting them. That's why Mitch McConnell's doing all these TV appearances and writing opinion pieces, because he wants all of that big money to start flowing back into Republican coffers again. Now, will it go to those Republicans or will it go to the Lindsey Graham Republicans? The MAGA Republicans. Well, there's a number of Republicans that are trying to make sure that you remember who supported Trump. Elizabeth Newman worked for President Trump. She used to work for President Trump at the Department of Homeland Security. She was an employee of Trump. She's leading a campaign right now. They've raised $50 million, or they're raising $50 million, going after those Republicans in her party that were supporting Trump and calling for insurrection, calling for the overthrow of this election. And here are the billboards they're running.
We decided that we're going to raise $50 million and do two things. We're going to get the backs of those Republicans who have told their constituents the truth that the election was not stolen. And if they are primaried, we will use that money to help defend them in their next election. And for those Republicans who have done the most damage, we are going to use that money to remind their constituents of how they have been lied to by these politicians. We put up billboards and they're very simple. We are calling them straight out saying, Senator Cruz, you lied. And we will continue to hold them accountable throughout the next 2 years here as we lead up to the next election cycle.
Ouch. So that's the Republican rift. Do you guys want a third party? Do you want a fourth party and a fifth party? I mean, why are we one country that literally has two parties? Every other country you go to, a new political party can emerge in a short amount of time and actually win elections. Some countries, you know, upwards of 16 different political parties, more than that, and they win elections. Why do we have two? Because all of that money is consolidated there. And by keeping it that way, these corporate, you know, these big business corporate elites get to run our government. Corporations run our country. Wall Street runs our country. And having a third party, a viable third party that's not given money by those big corporations is a major threat. And that's why it's not allowed to happen. That's why these parties will never allow it. That's why when the Green Party was running in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and other states trying to get on the ballot to put Howie Hawkins, the Green Party presidential candidate, up against Joe Biden, the Democratic Party filed lawsuits to keep them off the ticket. The progressives, Democrats fighting against progressives to keep them off of the ticket. Big money. One of those big questions I have, and you know, is having a party that stands up and says, we want to end all of these foreign wars, bring our troops back home. I mean, I'm all for that. I want these wars ended. You know, my wife and I were talking this morning over coffee, and she said, my son, Miles, asked, Mommy, we're not at, like, he, you know, he knows the big wars, right? World War II. He's been reading books on Gettysburg and things like that. And he just read a book on D-Day and things. And he said, I guess in his mind, he doesn't think like there's wars happening in the world right now as a 10-year-old brain, right? And he said, there's no wars happening right now. And my wife said, oh yeah, honey, there are. I could run out of fingers counting how many wars are currently happening in the world. I said, heck, this morning, Iraq, U.S. service member killed by a rocket attack in Iraq coming from Iran. You know, ramping up tensions in the China Sea. And how we're putting up, you know, forth a really stronger stance against China. Look at Yemen, for crying out loud. Look at Somalia. Venezuela. I mean, war after war after war. And guess what? We're involved in like almost all of them. United States has troops there. So the question I have, it would be great to have a third party that would stand up, a progressive party, or I don't care, a libertarian party that wants to end these wars. Get these troops home. So Joe Biden, President Biden, the White House was asked this question directly from a reporter. And it was a pretty startling moment. So Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary, was asked this question. When will President Biden bring the troops home, end these wars? Watch how amazing this interaction was.
Other topic, when you talk, it's a bit of follow-up about global posture review, led by Secretary Austin, so that the military footprint will be aligned with the foreign policy. Does the president want to bring back troops, the troops? Simple as that. Does he want to bring back the troops?
Are you referring to in Afghanistan? Or where?
Everywhere.
In the world?
Yes, in the world. Does he want to bring back the troops? Like the previous administration kept insisting, President Trump kept insisting on, I want to bring back the troops. Does President Biden want to do the same?
Look, I think the president looks at our engagement in the world through each circumstance, and certainly there are troops serving around the world in different capacities. He spoke about his commitment as it relates to Afghanistan on the campaign trail, but I don't think I can give you a, or I don't think it would be responsible to give you a sweeping point on that particular question. Go ahead.
Well, and can you imagine that machine is so big? If there was a party that was anti-war, they would get no media coverage at all. They would do everything they could to keep them out of the, because you had candidates like, I think one of the perfect candidates for the Democratic Party would have been Tulsi Gabbard. Like she would have been the one that if you wanted somebody to break the glass ceiling, you wanted somebody that was going to do the right thing, you wanted the first woman president that was going to do the right thing, she would have been the one. And look what they did to her.
A veteran.
Army veteran.
Speaking out against these wars. I mean, she was there. A decorated veteran. And wants to end the wars.
And she was like a very high position with the Democratic Party until she stood with Bernie Sanders over Clinton in the 2016 election. And that's when she lost favor with the Democratic Party. And that's when they went on their Russian Assad apologist campaign against her.
Yeah. Oh, she's a Russian sympathizer. And that's all you need to do. And Hillary Clinton is to blame for that crap. Same crap that they pulled with Bernie. Same crap that they pull with any progressive.
Yeah. So, I mean, so any kind of party that would emerge that was anti-war would have a big system to fight. Like a huge system to fight.
Yeah. And so you have this massive military industrial complex that, of course, Dwight Eisenhower, president of the United States at the time, on his farewell address to the nation, remember, he was the supreme Allied commander leading our forces at D-Day in World War II. Imagine having that title, supreme Allied commander. He, after he was president, in his farewell address to the nation, said, beware the military-industrial complex. Left unchecked, it will run the show. That's what it's doing. So big business, military-industrial complex, it's all one thing. That's what's running this show. Imagine, and remember the pushback that Trump got from these military, the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the members of the military who basically were like taking away his power to remove troops from Afghanistan. Joe Biden, so Jen Psaki has no good answer here for this. And I love this report. He's like, yeah, no, just I'm going to keep the simple question. Does he want to bring the troops home? And she's like, well, just smiling about it. No, of course not. I mean, you know, President Biden's talked about his commitment to Afghanistan and making sure that that region is safe. But I can't make a sweeping statement like that.
Well, and look at history. Imagine how different things would be had Kennedy listened to the generals that were in his face constantly telling him what to do with Russia and Cuba.
Cuba.
Like, think of how different things would be. And that's what happens. These generals, mm-hmm. these military advisors are in the president's face all the time. Look at Mike Pompeo and Bolton on Trump's back all the time. We need to go to Iran. We need to bomb Iran. We need to do this. We need to kill this Soleimani guy. We need to do this. Like, constantly.
Yeah, the war hawks that constantly want, because, you know, a lot of these guys, of course, have come from those, they worked at Northrop Grumman. They worked on the board at Raytheon. They're a part of that military contract industrial complex. They make money from it. I mean, look at Halliburton, for crying out loud. Look at what Dick Cheney, I mean, to have people that are in the administration profiting from these endless wars, that's what they were doing. To have the White House staff essentially making money off of the backs of, we're going to go in Afghanistan, we're going to go into Iraq. And then Trump gets in there, and legitimately, one of the things I really supported with President Trump was wanting him, he didn't start any wars. He got very close in Iran, but did not start any new wars. President Obama started like 8 of them, right? From Yemen to Syria. On and on the list went with his drone strikes and attacks. And the amount of drone strikes and the civilians that were killed under Obama is staggering. So this is the kind of stuff that will not ever be talked about on MSNBC. You're never going to see an MSNBC host talk about how under Obama, the amount of drone strikes increased 10 times the amount that was under, you know, was under Bush. It's not going to be discussed. But this question was so perfect. I mean, it was so simple. And just to see the sort of snide, I'm going to not really answer you. I'm just going to move on as quickly as I can because this is dangerous territory.
President Biden want to do this thing.
Look, I think the president looks at our engagement in the world.
It's just engagement.
And certainly there are troops serving around the world in different capacities. He spoke about his commitment as it relates to Afghanistan on the campaign trail. But I don't think I can give you I don't think it would be responsible to give you a sweeping point on that particular question. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me move on real quick. Fix my hair because that was a close one. You go ahead. Do you have a softball question for me over there in the back? Do you have a softball question? Will President Biden be involved in the Easter egg hunt at the White House? Thank you for asking, Carol. Yes, the Easter bunny is going to show up on the White House lawn. We're going to have a lot of little kitties coming around the White House. It's going to be a fun Sunday. We're already getting ready for Easter 5 weeks ahead of time. Thank you for the question. Okay, that's enough questions for today. I got to go.
Getting a little bit too real in here.
Yeah. Whew, it's getting a little hot in here. You asked me, does President Biden want troops to come home? Whew. Well, we look at our engagement around the world. Is that what we're calling it? Engagement? Next time I get into an argument with someone, I'm going to call it that. I was driving home, honey. What? Why are you late? Oh, I got into a little engagement with a guy who cut me off in traffic.
I'm going to start saying that if I ever get in a fight with a punch somebody in the face, I'm like, I'm just spreading peace and democracy.
That was your engagement. You just punched him in the face.
Yeah.
Cher Marie in our chat says, Clayton, I thought you liked her. No, I don't hate people. Okay. I think Jen Psaki has done a good job of being transparent. And I think legitimately she has no answer for that. I mean, what is she going to say? I mean, I don't know how you could answer that question. It would be incredibly refreshing to hear somebody say, like President Biden, to come out and say, let's be honest with the American people. We are run by the military-industrial complex, so we cannot end all of our foreign military engagements around the world because I would be thrown out of office. The military-industrial complex runs everything in this country. And we spend almost $900 billion a year to fund the military. I can't change it. I don't have the power. That's the truth. President of the United States, frankly, doesn't have the power to do anything about it. He's very little. If he does, he gets destroyed. Do you remember when President Clinton closed military bases in the mid-90s? He got destroyed for it.
Well, the thing is,
guess who lost the midterm elections because he did that? Clinton. He closed military bases, and Republicans used that as campaign video. Bill Clinton, close the military base in your backyard. Vote Republican. We'll increase military bases. Bring those jobs back.
Well, and people are saying that, you know, it's not really her fault. She can't really answer those questions. But the thing is, then why the heck is she out there? If she can't answer the questions that the press is going to have, then I mean, it's by design. They don't want certain questions answered, and it's an easy way for them to be like, oh, well, I can't answer that. Sorry, it's on the president. But then the president's not going to come out and answer that question. So no. It's by design that those questions are never going to get answered.
Sad, but true. I mean, is he going to end foreign wars? Is he going to bring these troops home? Well, good news on the on President Biden. One good, and this is a progressive hallelujah on President Biden. I don't want to be negative Nancy all the time here, is that in Yemen, President Biden announced that he will remove our involvement from that genocide, that war, and not give support. Good. That was a huge step forward and a huge win for progressives. I mean, Bernie Sanders had been pushing and pushing and pushing for that. You can thank Bernie Sanders probably and other members of the progressive wing of the party for pushing to end our involvement there. The awful atrocities that are happening in that country. And all these kids. I mean, just to look at these pictures of these kids. Like the other day, I had an image of one of these little girls who is, you know, malnourished. She was on my computer screen. And my little girl, my eight-year-old, walks by and says, "Daddy, what's that?" I'm like, "That's a little girl who's your age. Just bones."
I always wonder, like, where all the pro-life people are in those situations. You know what I mean? If people were actually pro-life, you would be the loudest voices for those kids over there that have no choice.
Yeah.
But I see so many people that are pro-life that are also pro-war, and that doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Oh, and pro-death penalty.
Yeah.
You know? Like, watch the Henry Lucas documentary on Netflix over the past few days, and watching, because he's in Texas and George W. Bush is, you know, governor of that state at that time. It's like, no, Texas has a long list of people we just put to death. We like putting people to death. It's what we do. But we're pro-life. So we will tell a woman what to do with her body, but we'll kill people. If you're outside the womb, we'll kill you. If you're inside, we'll protect you. I love the hypocrisy. But, you know, the problem with war in the United States is that most Americans don't smell it, see it, touch it, ever hear of it. Do you know that we're in Somalia right now? Do you know that we're in Yemen? Do you know that we're in Syria? Do you know that we're in Korea? Do you know that we're in Iraq? Do you know that we're, I mean, where are we not?
That was a conscious effort, too, because the thing is, like, during Vietnam, they actually showed video of caskets. They showed the casualties of war. They really showed people what was going on, and people protested. So it's a conscious effort that they have taken to not show you what's going on. You don't see pictures. You don't see numbers of people killed. You don't see anything. You don't even know how many countries we're in. And that is by design. They don't want you to, because if you know, you'll stand up. And I think more people, if you knew how many wars we were actually in, would be standing up more against it.
Yeah. Do you remember the Gulf War? Do you remember how during the first Gulf War, all the imagery that we saw so that we would not have a repeat of Vietnam was this big PR campaign to make sure that, like, our troops were praised, you know,
let's look at the F-16. This thing can drop 30 bombs.
Yeah. Super Bowl. Remember Whitney Houston, and we're going to do the flyover, and, you know, we're proud. So we're going to Iraq. We're putting Americans' lives at risk to go into Iraq to stop them from being in Kuwait, which is affecting our oil supply. A war for oil is exactly what it was. And we remember that war. We didn't see images of people arriving on the tarmac. We saw very few of them where bodies were coming home in Dover Air Force Base in Delaware with caskets. There was, like, a few of those images. Look, my brother was in Baghdad during that Gulf War. He was with the Navy SEALs. So, you know, we were very concerned and watching it very closely, and I watching the news nonstop, but you did not see coffins coming home like you did in Vietnam. What did we see? We saw images of yellow ribbons tied around trees. Remember that? Those yellow ribbons and American flags put out. That's what we saw. It was like this sanitized version. And by the way, CNN loved it. CNN's ratings exploded because of the Gulf War. Media loves it.
Well, and to kind of put it in perspective a little bit, if you think about this, like, we are in, I think it's 9 or 10 wars right now, right? And even during a global pandemic, we didn't stop. We continue. And right. and did not help the people. We passed another $785 billion budget for the military during a pandemic because we still have to bomb people.
Well, and they fought for it. I mean, Mitch McConnell flipped out, ran down to the Senate floor when he thought that President Trump was going to pocket that bill because he didn't want he didn't want that piece in the bill about I forget at the moment what it was. I can't think of it off the top of my head. Anyway, a little cloudy. So he puts that in there at the last minute and he tables the bill and Mitch McConnell runs down to the floor and freaks out about it. And both parties get on board and pass this legislation. Both parties. Bipartisan support, Chuck Schumer, etc. Unbelievable. So, my friends, that brings us to the end of today's broadcast.
But yet cannot get that stimulus out. Can't get $2,000 out to people that need it because, you know, war's more important.
Exactly. Go war, but we can't get the stimulus out to people. Don't forget to sign up for our daily newsletter. It goes out first thing in the morning. We cover stories like this, covering the stories you're not going to see other places. Go to morninginvest.com. It's totally free. Sign up. And then once you get your welcome email, hit me back. Let me know that you got it. You're going to get a welcome email that tells you when we publish it Monday through Friday. And email me back. I'd love to hear from new subscribers. You can go ahead and do that, and I will hit you right back. Anyway, morninginvest.com is where you go to subscribe. And pick up some of our merchandise, too, like Sandra. She got one of our new Social Estate t-shirts. Looking lovely. You can go to morninginvest.com/store to check out. Someone just said they got their Grover mug in the mail. Grover thanks you for that. Grover mug that says, "Come on, man," on the back.
Come on, man.
Thank you. Thank you, Joe. Thanks, everyone, for watching on this Tuesday, Fat Tuesday. Enjoy Pancake Day. We will be back here tomorrow, bright and early, 9 a.m. Eastern time. I thank you so much for subscribing and being such a great supporter of our show. Hit that subscribe button. Smash that like button if I brought you any value at all. It's very simple to do. If I did bring you any value, we've got 10,000 people watching. Just go ahead and smash that like button. I really appreciate it, everyone. We'll see you bright and early once again tomorrow morning. Take care now.
And go do a grouch a favor.